good evening, everyone. This is Luke Cavalli, and you're listening to the Divided Kingdom radio show. Well, we have a lot to talk about today. Some of it has to do with the Charlie Kirk assassination. Others have to do with other topics. But I'm going to lead off with a little thing that at first doesn't seem related, but it has to do with crime. And we've seen President Trump take action in the District of Columbia, because that's under federal jurisdiction. So he has the power to do something there, and it has greatly reduced the crime, which leads us to say, well, why didn't the city government do anything about it, or at least not do enough? But when I think of a state like Vermont, now, because I grew up in New England, Massachusetts in particular, and when I think of Vermont, I tend to think, and I must admit, I've only been up there once in my life. You would think, living in Massachusetts, you would get up to Vermont more often. But my parents tended to go to New Hampshire if they went on vacations, or Maine. It was a little closer. And Vermont, we used to kid about having more cows than people. And it's the last place in the world I would think of anything about crime. But it just goes to show that crime is everywhere. I guess in the whole world, but in particular, an awful lot of places in this country. So here's a little article that appeared in Fox News a few days back, September 15th, 2025. It's entitled, Blue States Crime Crisis Threatening Tourism, College Parents and Killing Small Businesses Report. And the word crisis is in quotation marks, I guess because to many people it wouldn't seem like a crisis, but to those who are accustomed to small town life, or small city life in this case, it might seem to be a crisis. This is by Sophia Compton, again on Fox News. It reads, Vermont law enforcement officer Jimmy Baldier spoke with Fox News Digital about the crime rates in Vermont and said that the police presence is one of the, quote, best crime deterrents, unquote. Business owners in a New England college city are reportedly close to a breaking point as crime affects its downtown, potentially bringing trouble for students' parents and leaf-peeping tourists in the area. That, of course, is, and this is Lou speaking, Vermont, of course, is famous for its beautiful leaves in the fall, just like New Hampshire is, and a good many other states. But that's why they talk about leaf-peeping tourists. Officials in Burlington, Vermont, home to the University of Vermont, have said they are working on new strategies to combat crime in the city's downtown, where business owners have raised concerns about graffiti, shoplifting, and open drug use. While Mayor Emma Mulvaney Stanek has noted that there is no simple solution, she has argued that a heavier police presence could undermine progress. Local news outlet WCAX Channel 3 reported. Jimmy Baldia, a deputy with the Rutland County Sheriff's Office about 65 miles south of Burlington, told Fox News Digital that the mayor should reconsider her stance and that a greater police presence could be helpful for keeping crime at bay. Baldia told Fox News Digital, quote, officer presence is something I think is one of the best crime deterrents possible. The fact of having police officers in the neighborhood, on the streets, in their cars, clearly visible, police presence is definitely a good crime deterrent, unquote. And I'll stop there because we have so much more to work on tonight, but there's a pretty good article to go with that if you want to look it up. It was on Fox News just a few days back, September 15th, and the title was Blue States Crime Crisis Threatening Tourism, etc. Well, I would, as a layman, certainly think that having police in the streets is a pretty good way to lower crime. Seems to be working in the District of Columbia. Get some of the ones off the street who are causing trouble. And just that presence probably makes them think twice about committing crimes. Well, now, the next article kind of ties in with the events of the last week. This appeared in the Gateway Pundit on September 11th, 2025, by Mike LaChance. Survey finds 1 in 3 college students think some level of violence is acceptable to stop campus speech they don't like. And having grown up in the time when protests were rampant on college campuses and students defended the right of free speech aggressively, this is quite a shock to me. So it says, one point that has been made repeatedly over the last 48 hours is that Charlie Kirk was assassinated while exercising one of the most basic rights, the right to free speech. When Kirk visited college campuses, he was not protesting. He was engaging in peaceful, intellectual discussions, question and answer sessions, and or debate with students who participated freely. So how would anyone think of killing him for doing this? Well, a survey, which was released just a day before Kirk was murdered, showed that an astonishing number of college students believe that violence is an acceptable way to stop campus speech they don't like. The College Fix, and I presume that's a publication of some kind, the College Fix reported 1 in 3 students believe some level of violence is acceptable to stop at campus speech, according to the results of a large-scale survey released Tuesday by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. The survey, which questioned more than 68,000 students at 257 colleges and universities nationwide on a variety of free speech topics, asked, quote, how acceptable would you say it is for students to engage in the following actions to protest a campus speaker? And the action is using violence to stop a campus speech, unquote. 2% said always acceptable. 13% said sometimes acceptable. And 19% said rarely acceptable. So that's about 2/3 of those surveyed in one of those 3 categories. When broken down on political beliefs, 7% of students who identified as liberal said it's always acceptable to use violence to shut down speech, while 8% of students who identified as conservative did. Quote, more students than ever think violence and chaos are acceptable alternatives to peaceful protest. Fire Chief Research Advisor Sean Stevens said in a news release, and Fire was once again the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And he went on to say, this finding cuts across partisan lines. It's not a liberal or conservative problem. It's an American problem. Students see speech that they oppose as threatening, and their overblown responses contribute to a volatile political climate, unquote. A majority of students surveyed, 54%, also responded it was acceptable to block other students from attending a campus speech. 3% said always acceptable. 19% said sometimes acceptable. And 32% said rarely acceptable. This is an indictment of our entire system of education. Schools are failing to educate our students about our most basic God-given rights and the respect that they deserve, especially in an educational setting. Again, that was by Mike LaChance, and it mentions that he has been covering higher education and politics for Legal Insurrection since 2012, and he's worked at various publications, including the Gateway Pundit, Daily Caller, Breitbart, etc. And that appeared in the Gateway Pundit. Survey finds 1 in 3 college students think some level of violence is acceptable to stop campus speech they don't like. September 11th, 2025. Okay, now on the whole matter of Charlie Kirk's murder, it has, of course, been right front and center in the news for the last week. And I didn't talk about it last week because the program I broadcast last Thursday was recorded on Tuesday. And so it hadn't even happened at that point. The murder happened on Wednesday. Now, at the risk of having things a little bit outmoded by the time you hear them. I'm going to give some information about this. Just heard on the radio, and I record this on Tuesday, September 16th. I think I have that date right. Yes. So, just heard that Mr. Robinson has been indicted for aggravated murder. He may face the death penalty. That's not sure yet. They haven't said whether they will seek the death penalty. Perhaps by the time you hear this, that information will go out. But I do have some things that I think are very important to say. The first one appeared in WorldNet Daily on September 15th. That would have been Monday. Scores are going to be spoken to. Those are the words of FBI Director Mr. Patel, Cash Patel. And he went on to say, FBI scouring social media chat probing. Normal people were involved in the Charlie Kirk murder. And let me interject there. We have been given a dose over the last several years, with the exception of 9/11, that everything that happens cannot be conspiracies. President Kennedy was never killed by a conspiracy, or Robert Kennedy, or Martin Luther King Jr., or more recent attempts on Gerald Ford, or much more recent attempts on our current president, Mr. Trump. They are just lone nuts. Well, if you research things, particularly the Kennedy assassination, a great deal more, you find that things were not what they said they were. The FBI, mainly J. Edgar Hoover, pressuring his people under him, said immediately, almost within the moment that Lee Harvey Oswald was arrested, they've got the man, there's nobody else involved. Now, any intelligent person looking at it knows that you can't determine that in a matter of a day or two. And thankfully, we hear that the FBI is not going to sit back and just say, we got our man, that's all there is to it. And I certainly hope that they stick with that resolve. So here in WorldNet Daily, we have this article by Bob Unruh, who does a great deal of writing for WorldNet Daily. And as I say, it appeared on Monday, September 15th, 2025. It says, only a day after WorldNet Daily reported that more than one perpetrator may have been involved in the assassination scheme that killed Turning Point USA co-founder Charlie Kirk, while he was speaking at a free speech event at a Utah school, there is confirmation now that other individuals are the targets of FBI agents. The civil rights leader and outspoken Christian leader was gunned down at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah, and a suspect, Tyler Robinson, described as being far left on the political spectrum and a supporter of the LGBT ideology, in fact, sharing an apartment with a man transitioning to be a woman, had been arrested. But FBI Chief Cash Patel explained during an interview Monday that the suspect allegedly was involved in social media chat groups in which the plan to murder Kirk apparently was a topic of discussion. And Discord is the name of this chat group, or one of them. And it says there are other members of Discord chat rooms, and scores are going to be spoken to, Patel said. He said the FBI already has obtained message exchanges between the suspect and his live-in partner and data from cell phone use, and more was being used to identify where the suspect had various conversations and with whom he would speak. He said the FBI is moving carefully through the process so what is found can be used as evidence in court. Text messages, in fact, talked about the, quote, opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and he was going to do it, unquote. The public, Patel said, has a right to know who knew of the assassin's plans and what they did with that knowledge. Assistant FBI Chief Dan Bongino, also during an interview, said a focal point is what happened with an, quote, individual expresses in advance his desire or her desire to do these specific things. The target was announced in advance. Did they say and hear it and think it was some kind of joke? There's a larger network here, unquote. In fact, a report at the Free Beacon indicated the FBI is investigating social media posts, quote, by at least 7 different accounts that appeared to indicate foreknowledge of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, unquote. That's according to those familiar with the investigation and screenshots the publication obtained. And here we have a quote from the Free Beacon that says, the posts, one of which referenced the date of Kirk's assassination, September 10th, more than a month before it took place, were all deleted in the days following the killing. Several of the accounts appear to belong to transgender individuals, and at least one of them followed suspect Tyler Robinson's roommate, with whom Robinson was allegedly in a relationship on TikTok, unquote. And that went on to say, the FBI has received archived copies of the posts, according to a person who flagged them for the agency. Screenshots of the posts have been circulating online, but had not been previously authenticated. While the posts do not establish that any of the individuals knew or conspired with Robinson, the 22-year-old gunman who allegedly shot Kirk, several of them mentioned the conservative activist by name and fantasized about his death, unquote. One social media statement on September 3rd, so that would be 1 week, I'll interject, 1 week before the killing of Charlie Kirk, one social media statement on September 3rd said, quote, it'd be funny if someone like Charlie Kirk got shot on September 10th. LMAO. I'm not quite sure what those initials are short for. I'm not up on the latest social media buzz. And that ends that quote. Another one from August 6th. So here we're talking more than a month ago. Said, September 10th will be a very interesting day. This is Lou speaking now. Here we have a quotation more than a month prior to it happening that predicts something is going to happen on that very day. On September 9th, on September 11th, but specifically September 10th. Back to the article. After Kirk's assassination, the same speaker said, quote, I plead the fifth, unquote. Well, that is interesting. So let's go on a little bit. One person, quote, who appears to follow Robinson's roommate, Lance Twiggs, on TikTok, posted, as soon as Kirk was killed, we effing did it. And that's an exact quote again. The report said, quote, several of the accounts, now this would be the FBI report, the report said several of the accounts under investigation appear to be associated with LGBT subcultures. One individual, who goes by the name Osamu bin Tezuka, used the X handle at, well, let me spell it out because it's kind of an odd name, F-U-J-O-S-H-I-N-C-E-L. And it says that's a reference to a genre of anime that depicts romantic relationships between men. Another user with the name at NHARAGALVZ, who had wished death to Kirk and predicted that something big will happen when he set foot on campus, had identified as non-binary on X. So those are from that FBI report. The LGBT factor should provide alarms for Americans as multiple recent mass shootings before the Kirk assassination involved those caught in the transgender culture. The Free Beacon noted, quote, a video posted on TikTok the night before the shooting, an individual who appears to be transgender wrote that, quote, Charles James Kirk does not know what's coming tomorrow. And again, this is Lou interjecting. Notice that was the very night before not know what's coming tomorrow. Unquote. The Free Beacon pointed out the posts do not establish that any of the individuals knew or conspired with Robinson, the 22-year-old gunman who allegedly shot Kerr, but several of them mentioned the conservative activist by name and fantasize about his death. Alarmingly, one also mentions, quote, Donald Trump, December 14th, unquote, in the same discussion. WND, that's WorldNet Daily's earlier report, noted that journalist Benny Johnson posted on X, quote, just spoke with top FBI official who made it very clear that they have not ruled out co-conspirators in Charlie Kirk's death. That assumption is premature. This is an internal quote from somebody at the FBI. That assumption, that is to say, that there were no co-conspirators, is premature. The investigation is just beginning. An enormous amount of evidence has been seized, both digital and physical. And another quote, FBI sources assure me the public will know everything about the dark internet history, chats, and affiliations of Kirk's left-wing political assassin. Johnson continued. And he also said, the source then alluded to some online groups attempting to delete or destroy evidence. He went on to say, we have everything. We are focused on the radicalization element. The truth will not be hidden or buried or classified. The public will know, according to the source. Well, this is Lou again interjecting. I certainly hope that's true. We got bamboozled in the Kennedy assassination. Whatever your views of that are, it's obvious that things were hidden from the investigators, even from the Warren Commission. They were not told about some vital things that might have helped to clear up the whole mess. But they were stonewalled. Well, quite frankly, information was withheld from them. They were lied to. And so no wonder that to this very day, what is it, 62 years, or will be this fall, 62 years later, people, including myself, still have grave doubts about what really happened on November 22nd, 1963. Well, finishing up the article now, journalist Nick Sartor, that's spelled S-O-R-T-O-R, confirmed the Bureau is actively digging through chat logs, dark web history, and affiliations of Tyler Robinson, the suspect in custody, noting, quote, another FBI source independently verified to me Benny's reporting here is accurate. No stone should be left unturned. We must know exactly who radicalized this degenerate and locked their asses up, unquote. Pardon my French, but that's what it says here. Elon Musk earlier had blasted left-wing violence in the assassination of Kirk, saying, the left is the party of murder and celebrating murder. He went on, see how much violence there is on the left. With our friend Charlie Kirk getting murdered in cold blood this week, and people on the left celebrating it openly. The left is the party of murder and celebrating murder. Let that sink in for a minute. That's who we are dealing with here. And again, those are the words of Elon Musk. The article appeared in the WorldNet Daily. Good article, September 15th, 2025. And the short version of the title is Scores Are Going to Be Spoken To. It's by Bob Unger. All right. And here's a little more confirmation of what the FBI is looking into. And it may be a while. With all the modern technology, it's not easy to, with all the encrypting and everything, it's not easy to get to the bottom of some of these things that appeared in chats. It may have been deleted, but the FBI says they're going to do it. And here's a little article from the Gateway Pundit. X account that predicted Charlie Kirk's assassination a week in advance also posted a future date for Trump before deleting the account. This is by Cassandra McDonald, September 15th. A now-deleted X account appears to have had prior knowledge of the brutal assassination of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. and subsequently posted a threatening date for President Donald Trump. Trump was shot during an outdoor speech in Pennsylvania, July 13, 2024. The account, with the name at Tally Hall Album, posted an eerily specific quote-unquote joke on September 3rd, declaring it would be, quote, funny if someone like Charlie Kirk got shot on September 10th, LMAO, unquote. Once again, I'm not real sure what LMAO means. Maybe some of you can write me with that if you're familiar with it. I'm just not too knowledgeable about social media and all the shorthand that goes on there. Just days after the tragedy, the user followed up with a cryptic reply. Did I? That's in quotes. Did I? And then escalated the threat by posting Donald Trump, December 14th. That's in quotes. Donald Trump, December 14th, before scrubbing the entire profile from existence. And some of this repeats, but I think it's worth saying again. The FBI, under Director Kash Patel, has wrapped up its investigation into at least 7 suspicious social media accounts that displayed foreknowledge of Kirk's murder, including this one, according to a report from the Washington Free Beacon. And I should add, this appeared on Monday the 15th. So by the time you hear this, I would say there's probably going to be more than 7. Fact is, I'm recording it on Tuesday, there probably are. Getting back to the article, these posts spanning from August to just hours before the shooting were deleted in the aftermath, raising serious questions about a coordinated plot involving radical left-wing elements, including ties to transgender and, quote, furry, unquote, online communities. And again, this is a little, I'm not quite sure what that means. I guess I'm just not in the know. But back to the article. Tally Hall is an obscure, defunct rock band. Now, Tally Hall was the name of that account that had those threats. At Tally Hall Album was their name. And the article says Tally Hall is an obscure, defunct rock band that broke up over a decade ago. Robinson and his live-in boyfriend, a transgender biological male named Lance Twiggs, were both actively involved in that fandom online. That is, that rock group fandom, which appears to be largely people who are confused about their gender. This isn't isolated. The Gateway Pundit's reporting since Thursday has revealed parallel accounts like, and I think we mentioned this before, at Najra Galvz, N-A-J-R-A-G-A-L-V-Z, who posted on September 9th, Charlie Kirk is coming to my college tomorrow. I think it would be really, but it's abbreviated R-L-L-Y. I really hope someone evaporates him, literally, unquote. Followed by, quote, let's just say something big will happen tomorrow, unquote. Or at Fujo Shincel, F-U-J-O-S-H-I-N-C-E-L, who teased, quote, something big coming soon, unquote, on September 5th. And gloated, quote, another chud, C-H-U-D, bites the dust, unquote, post-assassination. An unnamed account predicted on August 6th, September 10th will be a very interesting day. Later, pleading the 5th. According to new reports, Robinson confessed in a Discord group chat to his friends 2 hours before his surrender. Robinson told the group of 30 people, hey guys, I have bad news for you all. It was me at UVU yesterday. I'm sorry for all this. I'm surrendering to a sheriff friend in a few moments. Thanks for all the good times and laughs, unquote. The accused killer also reportedly made flippant jokes in Discord chats with 20 other users while he was on the run, although it's unclear if this is the same chat group. He's reported to have quipped to friends that a doppelganger was responsible for the shooting after the FBI released images of the suspect. As of Monday, it does not appear that President Donald Trump has any public information available about events or trips for December 14th. Well, interesting. All right, before I forget to say so, if you would like to write to me, you can write to Lou Caverly, L-O-U, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And I'll repeat that address. If you didn't have a pencil and paper handy, I'll give that again a little later. We'd love to get your letters. If you can make some donations, that helps to keep us on the air. Costs about $600 the average month to keep the program going. So we are very grateful for those of you who contribute. And I'd love to get your letters. If you can't afford to give us any money right now, that's no problem. You just write to us. We love to get your letters. I love to get your letters. I'm sorry that Elizabeth is no longer with us. It's actually, as I record this, 7 months to the very day since her death. So it's still, it's only partially sunk in. I'm still getting used to this idea that she's no longer with us. But she was a great, great, really, when you come right down to it, she's the one who began the program. And I kind of tagged along because I was working full time at the time, and I just didn't have a lot of time to devote to her. So pretty much she did everything except read some of the articles. I just did that. But now that I'm retired, I can really devote myself to it. And I thank you all for your support. A lot of kind words. And as I say, if you just want to write to me, that's certainly fine. I try my best to answer everything that comes to me and to thank people for donations. If I leave you out, it's not intentional. And I will try to get you the very next time when I send out thank yous. Well, let's get back to some of these other things. We've had a lot of nasty stuff come out since Charlie Kirk's assassination. Seems like all the little creatures are crawling out from under the rocks. Here's something from the Gateway Pundit. Texas is not one to put up with a lot of evil. And this article, again, from the Gateway Pundit, authored by Jim Hoff, who writes a great deal of the good things on the Gateway Pundit, says over 100 radical leftist teachers in Texas will have their certificates suspended and face permanent ban from public schools after celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination and calling for more violence. Unbelievable. And the article says more than 100 Texas educators are now facing the end of their teaching careers after posting vile, hateful, and violent content celebrating the assassination of conservative leader Charlie Kirk. Governor Greg Abbott announced on Sunday that the Texas Educational Agency, TEA, has begun investigations into teachers who cheered Kirk's murder and even incited additional violence online. And this is Lou interjecting. It's not limited to Texas, of course, but this one article showed that the governor was not putting up with this. I hope other governors will do the same, or other school boards and so on. We've heard stories, I'm sure you have too, about those rejoicing in Kirk's death, making his wife a widow, making his children orphans. It's just despicable. And it's not limited to apparently just a few radicals. I wish it were. But here we have teachers. I was a teacher for over 40 years. I can't believe that my fellow teachers would have done this. Just can't believe it. But a lot of people, you see, they like to say things when they think nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. Oh, at least they won't be caught. But not wise. Anyway, there's Governor Greg Abbott confirmed that these educators will not only have their teaching certificates suspended, but will also be permanently barred from working in Texas public schools. In a strongly worded letter to superintendents, Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath condemned the educators' despicable behavior, noting that such conduct may constitute violations of the Educators' Code of Ethics. And I'm presuming, this is a little speak, I'm presuming that is some sort of a document in Texas. I'm not aware of a nationwide document, but it's in capital letters. So Educator's Code of Ethics apparently is an actual document of some kind. Going on, he, meaning Mike Morath, the Texas Education Association Commissioner, confirmed that all documented cases have been referred to TEA's Educator Investigations Division. His letter reads, quote, TEA has been made aware of some Texas public school educators that have posted and or shared reprehensible and inappropriate content on social media related to the assassination of Charlie Kirk. These educators' comments do not reflect the vast majority of Texas teachers who are dedicated practitioners that work diligently to serve the more than 5.5 million impressionable young minds in our classrooms. In response to such posts, I'm referring all documentation of educators that have proliferated such vile content to TEA's Educator Investigations Division. Such posts could constitute a violation of the Educator's Code of Ethics, and each instance will be thoroughly reviewed to determine whether sanctionable conduct has occurred, and staff will investigate accordingly. While the exercise of free speech is a fundamental right we are all blessed to share, it does not give carte blanche authority to celebrate or sow violence against those that share differing beliefs and perspectives. Mr. Kirk was a father and a husband, and tragically, his children no longer have their father, and his wife no longer has her spouse. As a father and husband myself, and as someone devoted to the education of children, it is heartbreaking. If you are made aware of additional instances of inappropriate content being shared, it should be reported to the agency through TEA's misconduct reporting portal, unquote. And again, that's a letter from TEA, that is Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath. The article goes on, Governor Abbott doubled down on Morath's letter, posting on X that Texas, quote, will not tolerate educators who call on-site, that is, who call for on-site violence, unquote. According to Texan News, the TEA has reportedly received roughly 180 complaints in response to the letter circulated last week, requesting reports of reprehensible conduct or social media posts shared by educators following the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And once again, that article was in the Gateway Pundit on September 16th, that would have been Tuesday, by Jim Hoft. And it begins with the words, the title begins with the words, 100 radical leftist teachers in Texas will have their certificates suspended and face permanent ban from public schools, etc. All right. And some of you may remember Peggy Noonan, who was a speechwriter for President Reagan a good many years ago now. And here we have from Fox News the title, Gradually and Then Suddenly. Reagan speechwriter talks political violence in aftermath of Kirk's death. I should clarify, she's not advocating political violence. She's warning against it. That title is a little bit misleading if you don't read the article. And the subheading says, we know this can't continue, but we don't know how to stop it, Peggy Noonan wrote in the Wall Street Journal. This is quoted in Fox News, and the article itself is by Diana Stancy, S-T-A-N-C-Y, and was published September 15th. That would have been Monday. It says, the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk signals a troubling new chapter in America's political violence, former Reagan speechwriter Peggy Noonan said. And here's a quote from Ms. Noonan. We like to say that something happened gradually and then suddenly, Noonan wrote in the Wall Street Journal on Thursday. It's from Ernest Hemingway's book, The Sun Also Rises. A character, asked how he went bankrupt, says, two ways, gradually and suddenly. That's how political violence in America has been growing in this century. I would say that 2024 assassination attempt on Donald Trump, actually assassination attempts for the two of them on Donald Trump, and now the assassination of Charlie Kirk are the suddenly moments. Again, tying it back to that quote. The reality continues while the dark tempo is picking up, unquote. And as Noonan also wrote, we know this can't continue, and we don't know how to stop it. That is our predicament. Noonan, now a columnist for the Wall Street Journal, previously served as former President Ronald Reagan's head speechwriter from 1984 to 1986. Kirk's assassination is one of multiple examples of political violence, or attempted political violence. For example, 20-year-old gunman Thomas Matthew Crooks opened fire on Trump from a rooftop during a campaign rally in July 2024. And one of the 8 bullets shot grazed Trump's ear. The gunman also shot and killed Corey Comparatore, a 50-year-old firefighter, father and husband, attending the rally, and injured 2 others. Likewise, Ryan Ruth was apprehended and charged with attempting to assassinate Trump at his Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach, Florida, in September of last year. Ruth was charged with attempting assassination of a major presidential candidate, among other things, and his trial is currently underway. Other instances include an assassination plot against Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Nicholas John Roski, I guess that's how you say it, age 29, pleaded guilty in April to attempting to kill Kavanaugh in June 2022, according to the Justice Department. And, again, that ends a little bit abruptly. I think I got the whole of the article, but if you want to double-check it, it appeared on Fox News September 15th, and the title was Gradually and Then Suddenly, etc. So if you want to double-check and see the whole article, it's possible I chopped off a little at the end. I thought I hit the whole of it. Anyway, that gives you the gist. And there are some pretty nasty people out there. That's something that we can certainly see from the reactions to Charlie Kirk's murder. A lot of people seem to think murder is great. Kill them. If you don't like them, kill them. That seems to be the attitude of a great many people. Uncomfortably many. Here's another more famous one. Again from the Gateway Pundit. House resolution will be filed today, and that is Tuesday, September 16th, the very day I'm recording this. That House resolution will be filed to remove Radical Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar from all committee assignments after she mocks Charlie Kirk's cold-blooded murder. This was by Jim Hoft, and as I said, September 16th. Representative Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, announced on X late Monday morning that a House resolution will be filed today to strip Radical Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, of all her committee assignments. This is due to Omar's vile, unhinged celebration of the assassination of conservative icon Charlie Kirk, the Turning Point USA founder, murdered in a brazen political hit last week. Omar, the Somalia-born socialist who has long-peddled anti-Semitic tropes and defended terrorist sympathizers, gloated and grinned throughout an interview with a disgraced former corporate media hack following Charlie Kirk's assassination. During an interview with former MSNBC propagandist and ZDO founder Mehdi, M-E-H-D-I, Hassan, H-A-S-A-N, Omar mocked Kirk, saying he got precisely what he deserved for simply expressing politically differing views. This is politically incorrect views, but I think it would be better to call it politically different views from her own. She also accused others of lying for saying Kirk wanted civil discourse. And this is a little summary of some of the words that were spoken. Omar says, I do know for sure is that Charlie was someone who once said, guns save lives, after the school shooting. finally was someone who was willing to debate and downplay George Floyd's death at the hands of the Minneapolis police. Hassan says he, meaning Kirk, called him, that is Floyd, a scumbag. Now, I should interject. This is Lou speaking again. This doesn't say whether these were truthful words or not, and I have my doubts about it, but I'll read it exactly the way it says it here, because this is what she and Hassan said. Omar replied, right. He, that is Kirk, downplayed slavery and what black people have gone through in this country by saying, Juneteenth should never exist. And I think there are a lot of people out there saying he just wanted to have a civil debate. Hassan, chuckling, a complete rewriting of history. Omar, right. There's nothing more effed up than to completely pretend his words and actions have not been recorded. And she was giggling as she said that. And it is in existence for the last decade or so. Now, back to the present. Mace wrote on Monday, we're following a resolution to strip Ilhan of her committee assignments after her disgraceful remarks on Charlie Kirk's assassination, unquote. And Representative Mace didn't hold back in her statement. She went on to say, Ilhan Omar has shown us exactly who she is. She defends political violence and refuses to condemn the loss of innocent lives when it doesn't suit her agenda. Even the cold-blooded assassination of Charlie Kirk. It's dangerous, disgraceful, and beneath the United States Congress. She must be stripped of every committee assignment. No excuses, unquote. Standing outside Omar's congressional office, Mace declared that the time for silence is over. Mace said, here I am, standing outside of the anti-American Ilhan Omar's office. Tomorrow we will file a privilege motion to censure her and to strip her of all committee assignments. She is inciting violence against conservatives in the wake of Charlie Kirk's political assassination. She is dehumanizing conservatives all across the country, calling Charlie Kirk a terrorist. We have been villainized and dehumanized far too long. The Democrats set a standard for stripping people of their committee assignments. I'm not going to be silent on this because enough is enough. I'm tired of your performative BS that is putting lives in danger. You can take your Sharia-loving, anti-American self back to Somalia, unquote. And the authors of the article comment, House Democrats gleefully strip Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and other conservative members of their committee assignments in past Congresses, but far less. Now, would one of their own openly mock the assassination of one of the most influential conservative activists in modern American history, Democrats remain silent. The contrast could not be more stark. Conservatives are punished for their speech, while Omar is allowed to normalize and justify political violence, so long as the victim is on the right. All right, again, that article appeared in the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoft, September 16th. House resolution will be filed today to remove radical Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar from all committee assignments. All right, and that is perhaps happening even as I am recording this on Tuesday, September 16th. And here we have a little something from the Washington Times. Actually, we have a couple of things, and I don't think there'll be time to read all of them, and a couple of more things, but I'll give you at least the highlights of them. The first one appeared on Sunday, September 14th, just a few days back. The Washington Times by Mike McKenna. America stands at the crossroads between civil discourse and political violence. Silencing leaders like Kirk erodes choice, debate, and freedom. In the immediate wake of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a friend of mine posted on social media that she looked forward to similar levels of outrage for the recent shootings of school children. Here's the difference. Those who kill random strangers, or acquaintances of loved ones for that matter, are for the most part and for whatever twisted reasons, trying to kill individuals. An assassin, on the other hand, is trying to kill the very idea that all of us should have the right to hear and judge ideas and those who express them. Political assassins, such as the person who killed Charlie Kirk, want to destroy our ability to govern ourselves, make decisions for ourselves, and ultimately live life on our own terms as best we can within the strictures of the law. The terrible reality is this. Mr. Kirk was killed because he was effective at using persuasion to change hearts and minds and helping people in the nation find their way back to health of all kinds and greatness. Turning Point USA has almost 1 million members who followed him and who are a potent intellectual force. Political violence has, once again, become an unfortunate reality in the United States. A confidant of the sitting president is the most recent and most prominent victim of violence, designed specifically to reduce the voices that voters hear. He joins a long list of people and institutions attacked in an effort to stamp out their beliefs. The list includes Representative Steve Scalise, former Representative Melissa Hortman, former Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and, of course, the president himself. I would be remiss if I did not include the more than 500 attacks on Catholic churches over the past few years, as those attacks are clearly political in nature, and like assassinations are conscious efforts to destroy messages and institutions that the assassins would rather not allow individuals to access. And just jumping down a little bit, in 1963, there were approximately 8,600 homicides in the United States, but most of the nation can remember only the one killing that had the practical effect of vitiating a presidential election and changing forever our nation's trajectory. And it continues, I'll just read the concluding paragraph. As he headed toward the gallows after his failed effort to seize the federal armory at Harpers Ferry, Virginia, in 1859, John Brown, the prophet of the apocalypse that was coming, gave the hangman a note. It simply read, "I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away, but with blood." He was, of course, unfortunately, correct. For us, though, it is not yet too late. Good article if you want to read the whole thing. It was in the Washington Times, Sunday, September 14th, America Stands at Crossroads, et cetera, et cetera. A couple other things that we'll just have to give you a few of the highlights in the Washington Times on that same Sunday, September 14th, by Kerry Pickett. We had Rifle and Charlie Kirk killing complicates the usual gun control narrative. And the point of this article really is saying we have all these people that say you cannot have these special high-powered automatic-type rifles or semi-automatic. But this gun in this shooting was, as it says here, well, I'll read it exactly. Authorities said the shot that killed Mr. Kirk came from a Mauser bolt-action rifle chambered in .30-06 caliber, a classic hunting gun, and the type of weapon that had previously been immune from the gun control debate. And here's a quote from Aidan Johnston, Director of Federal Affairs for Gun Owners of America. "As usual, the Democrats wasted no time before weaponizing the assassination of Second Amendment advocate Charlie Kirk to promote their unconstitutional gun-grabbing agenda. But the murder weapon is a sporterized Mauser, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Gewehr or Gewehr 98, a bolt-action rifle first manufactured in Germany over 100 years ago in 1898. So when Democrats call for assault weapon bans, every gun owner must realize that means grandpa's old hunting rifle as well." And it says bolt-action rifles load each round one at a time by manually working the bolt. Well, that's the gist of that article. That they can't claim that this is some kind of a fancy gun with all kinds of features that allowed rapid-fire shooting. The gun would have to be reloaded each time by working the bolt action. So this guy must have been a pretty good shot. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. To get that shot off, one shot was all he shot. More of that will probably come out as time goes on. If you want to read that whole article, it was in the Washington Times. Sunday, September 14th, Rifle and Charlie Kirk killing complicates the usual gun control narrative. That's good. 2 or 3 minutes left. Give you a couple other headlines. Moving on to a little different topics. This has been in Fox News. Nation's Report Card gives public schools a failing grade. Parents are demanding better. I'll probably go into this one a little bit next week because this is well worth reading. I'll give you a couple highlights here. Nearly half of high school seniors scored below basic in math and reading. Compared to 2019, the last time the test was administered, the results are abysmal. It's just one more signal that our education system is falling short of preparing students for college, work, and life. And it goes on to say, here's the thing, parents didn't need another test to tell them this. They see it every day. Well, once again, that's, as a former educator myself, that's pretty interesting and pretty alarming. I'll probably go into that in more depth next week. And then we had another little article in the Washington Times. European conservatives sound the alarm over Brussels-led crackdown on, quote, disinformation. Well, we'll read that next week, too, or at least go into it. Sounds like they're trying to stifle debate, in my opinion. Well, if you want to write to me, I'm Lou Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in again next week. Good night.